Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Today's episode of Holly Randall Unfiltered is brought to you by Twisties. Twisties is my longest running client. I've been shooting for them for over a decade, and they are also the best site for lesbian erotica on the web. You know, on this show, we talk a lot about ethical porn and consent and boundaries. Let me tell you that when I shoot for Twisties, we cover all of those topics, and you can rest assured that you are definitely accessing the most ethically produced porn out there. I, as the producer and the director, make sure of that. So check out twisties.com, where you can access the hottest girl-girl scenes out there with big stars like Abella Danger, Demi Sutra, Kira Noir, Cherie DeVille, and Alexis Fox, plus up-and-coming newcomers like Jules Blue, Lulu Chu, Alexis Tay, Charlotte Sims, Giselle Blanco, and so many more. Go to twisties.com today. You will not regret it. Hi, I'm Holly Randall, and welcome to my podcast, Holly Randall Unfiltered. This is a show about sex, the adult industry, and the people in it. I'm a 21-year veteran of this fascinating little industry, and as the eldest child of the trailblazing erotic photographer Suze Randall, you could say I grew up in it. So forget everything you think you know about porn, because this show is going to change your mind. My guests are some of the biggest names in the industry, and we unabashedly reveal the real behind-the-scenes stories. The funny, the inspiring, the tragic, and the bizarre. Everyone has an opinion about sex work, but few people actually listen to the sex workers. So sit back and prepare yourself for a podcast which is honest, raw, and unfiltered. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Holly Randall Unfiltered. I am so excited because Christmas is next week. It's my favorite holiday. So welcome to a special, I don't know, I say it's a special Christmas episode. There's nothing especially Christmassy about it. But anyways, happy holidays wherever you are. Before I introduce my guest, I just want to give a quick shout out to my sponsors, RexMD, who could make your Christmas go so much more smoothly by getting you generic and branded Viagra so easily. Everything's online, even the subscription, they deliver right to your door. It's like Santa can just bring you like guaranteed long-lasting erections straight to your door, and just think about how much holiday fun you could have with that. Go to rexmd.com/holly to get started with a sample pack subscription of generic Viagra. RexMD is the authority in men's telehealth. Okay, let me introduce to you my guest today. She was so committed to joining the porn industry that she commuted back and forth from Hawaii for almost 6 months. That's a pretty long flight. I've shot her for Twisty's Treat of the Month, which we can talk about that because that was a that was a tough shoot and she was a champ. And I'm so excited to have her here for you. She's one of the sweetest and just like most genuinely lovely girls in the industry. Welcome, Giselle Blanco.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh my gosh, I'm all like gushy and blushy right now because of your little intro. Thank you. I'm really happy to be here. Yeah. Finally have a seat with you. I know you reached out a while ago.
It's
and
okay. You totally ghosted me. It's fine.
I know,
Christmas ghosted me.
I know, goodness. Oh my God. I was doing a little bit of soul searching.
That's okay.
It was during one of those little breaks.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. You know what? We're not always in a place in our lives that we want to go on a podcast and talk about ourselves. Sometimes we just really like, that's the last thing that we want to do. We're not in that place.
Yeah. No.
And I totally get that.
Thank you. I know. I'm so sorry. I'm glad you understand.
Yeah. I'm really like not.
Like I promise it was nothing personal at all.
No, not at all. And here's the thing too. I try to always say this, you know, you guys gift me with your time on this show. And I'm so grateful for that. So like, I'm just grateful for if anybody's willing to come on and, you know, sit down with me for an hour. I know people are busy. They got other shit to do. And this is, you know, something that I don't ever want to take like anybody's company for granted. So thank you for making the time.
Of course.
Honestly.
Of course. I'm glad to be here.
Yay.
Yeah.
So like I mentioned, Christmas is around the corner. Mm-hmm. Do you love Christmas as much as I do?
I love Christmas. However, I gotta say it is second to Halloween. Halloween is my jam. Yes.
I get that. Mm. I feel like if I was a young, hot, beautiful woman, I would also love Halloween. But alas, Halloween's actually never been, you know, I liked it, I think, when I was younger. But I don't know, like, get the whole dressing up thing. You would think that it would be something that I would be really into because I actually have so much access to makeup, wardrobe, props. I have, like, accounts at, like, prop rental houses, wardrobe rental places. Like, I could literally be anything. Like, I could make that happen, and I just don't.
Yeah, no, and occasionally I'll see, like, your little themed posts or themed shoots on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, for my OnlyFans.
They're super cute, but, I mean, I get it. It's a lot. It's a lot of planning that goes into it.
It is, and I don't know. For some reason, I think also now that I'm older, I'm, like, not that into it. But what is it about Halloween that you love so much? Is it the dressing up?
Yeah, I love the dressing up. I love spooky things. My favorite movie genre is horror and thrillers. And I also really, really love that me and my partner share that same interest in Halloween or maybe in holidays in general. Mm-hmm. So we're very festive.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What has been like your favorite costume that do you have like a all-time best costume that you've ever done?
Oh my goodness. I think it has to be this year's Halloween. Me and my partner, we dressed up as Rhaenyra and Daemon Targaryen from House of Dragon.
Nice.
And we have two puppies and we got them little dragon costumes.
Oh my God.
So the whole family was like House of Dragon. I love it.
Do you have a photo that you can show me?
Yes, I have.
Right.
Okay. Our photo. Do you want me to show you now?
I mean, sure. Let me see if I can find it. Can't wait.
No, it was gorgeous.
I also for anyone who doesn't know, her partner is Ramon Nomar,
yeah,
who we have known since he was 18. I don't know if you should. I think one of his very first shoots was with my mom. We used to use Ramon a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, understandable.
Yeah. I could probably show you some photo sets of him. Oh, have you seen the one of him in the maid uniform?
No. Oh my God. I got to see it.
Yeah. Him and somebody else. It was with Stacey Valentine.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's just in he's naked with an apron, but it's pretty.
Really? Oh my God. Wait here. I found it.
Cosplayed out. Okay, I love Ramon. He looks a little ridiculous. Oh. You actually look amazing. This suits you very, very much.
Thank you. I know Ramon. Oh my goodness.
Oh my
God. Was feeling the wig that day too.
Was he?
It was gorgeous. Yeah.
That is so funny. Can you send this to me?
Yeah.
I kind of want to put this into the video.
For sure.
Edit this photo in because I feel like everyone else is going to have FOMO by not being able to see it.
Right. It's too cute. I'll send you because we have another one where we're laughing and our dogs are like, my husky's perfectly posed.
Oh my God. That's so funny. I love that. That's great.
Right. Here.
Okay. Send that to me. Yes. So back to Christmas.
Yes.
What is it about Christmas that, what's your favorite thing about Christmas?
So back home in Hawaii, we don't have snow. Right. So it would always be rainy and our version of cold was 70 degrees.
And I mean, I don't know why I laugh. I grew up in LA, so it doesn't get that cold here either. But
I don't know.
It's pretty funny.
I'm dying out here as is. So I don't know. It's 50s, sometimes 60. The highest a couple days ago was 67. I was still a little chilly, but grateful because it's a lot warmer than the past couple days have been.
Yeah.
But anyways, just the rainy season or the cold season makes you want to just wrap up, snuggle. You know, it's hoodie season. You just want to be cozy at home, watch Christmas movies, drink hot cocoa. And back home, we would make little villages for Christmas. And each year, we'd buy a little addition to it. And so I feel like just doing little small things like traditions. We'd also do an ornament every year and add it to our tree. So I feel like those little things really make Christmas something to look forward to and just special.
Yeah. What do you guys do for Christmas? Do you and Ramon go back and see your family or his family, or do you guys stay here?
So this year we're thinking of staying here because I kind of feel bad about leaving my puppy because we have two dogs. Before last year it was just her, and we had to leave her at doggy daycare while we went home to see my family in Hawaii. And this year I have my husky. She's 9 years old and she knows what Christmas is. So once the Christmas decorations go up, she's aware of it. Like, she acts a little different. Like, it's just something different about her that we've noticed. And her favorite thing to do is open presents, because we always get our dogs like a little stocking for themselves, and we just put all these treats and toys for them, and she goes nuts. She
I was gonna say it. Also, huskies love to rip shit up, like literally your rugs, and dig through your walls. So it makes sense that she would like to rip open presents.
Right. No, she's a really good puppy though. She doesn't get into our things, but anything we get her, torn apart in pieces in 2 seconds. Yeah. So she's a good girl. I'm glad she is, because the little one loves my shoes, my Chihuahua.
Oh boy.
Oh, but it's okay.
Yeah,
those are replaceable.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. The love of a dog is not.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Mm-mm. So, Giselle, let's start at the beginning. How did you get into the adult industry?
Ooh, so I got in. Let's see. When I turned 18, I decided to start stripping because I thought it was fun. You know, I'm seeing these girls. I followed a couple strippers from home. Just because I liked their content, what they posted. I thought they were posting like just beautiful images and whatnot. And I would watch their stories and I'm like, this club seems really cool. The club that she works for was a very it's a woman-owned club. So I loved that, for one. And two, it's a very empowering place for women to be, at least that's what it looked like from the outside, you know. And so I was like, okay, so it seems like it's safe. Like, it's not going to be creepy as far as, like, management goes. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I was very, how do I put it? My personality that everyone knew me for around that time when I was 18, nobody ever expected me to be a stripper because I was a straight-A student. I was working all the time. I used to model throughout high school. And so I was a very good girl, very, very, very good girl. And by the time I got into the strip club, I remember telling my mom, she was like, the look on her face, she was like, oh, like, really? Like, okay, I mean, okay, I guess if that's what you want to do. And I remember kind of keeping a secret from my dad because, you know, dads are different with their daughters.
Yeah.
And so, I go in the night that I told my mom. She's like, just be safe. You know, I still love you. I'm here for you. If anything, call me if anything. And, pulled up to the strip club and I loved it. I'm still very good friends with the owner to this day after 5 years. And basically loved everything about stripping. I grew a lot during that time between the time I started stripping to getting into porn. And I'm glad I had that buffer time because basically it was a 3-year difference or 3-year span of time before I joined the industry. And it's crazy how much growing up can still be done within those three years.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you're young too. I mean, I feel like you never stop growing. I feel like I'm different than I was 3 years ago myself, but especially like your 20s, you change so much.
Yeah.
So much.
So much.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm glad I had that time. But pretty much when COVID came around, shut the clubs down, I'm like, great. What am I going to do now? So I heard about OnlyFans. Mm. And then,
what's that?
I know. Who is she?
I've never heard of that before.
But I decided to try it because I had grown a tiny bit of following. By tiny bit, I mean like 1,000 followers. Mm-hmm. Just throughout my little stripper Instagram. And they're like, hey, you should make an OnlyFans. Like, I'm really interested in seeing, you know, more of your stuff because we can't come to see you in the club anymore. And I'm like, okay. So tried it out little by little. Started off with, by posting, like, pics and lingerie. Mm-hmm. Eventually progressed to nudies because, you know, I felt like it was a little safe spot for me because mm-hmm. it was in my control, you know, mm-hmm. up to me, my boundaries, all that. And eventually led up to me making my first solo masturbation video. And yeah, since then I was like, wait, something clicked. I'm like, this is hot. I really actually enjoy this. And I think part of that was because, I mean, back then I didn't really know, but I kind of have a thing for, what's that word called? There's a word, exhibitionism.
Mm-hmm.
Exhibitionist.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense, especially like, being a stripper is a very exhibitionist job. I mean, very much so.
Yeah. And aside from the dancing part, I mean, I love it. And I love being sexy mm-hmm. and I guess sharing it with other people.
And like, being appreciated for that.
Yeah.
You know, like getting that positive feedback from people.
It feels good, especially when it's something that I enjoy, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it felt right. And so I ended up recording my first boy girl. And then since then, back then I was editing all of my own porn. And so as I was editing, I was watching myself. I was like, you know, I look really happy, like getting fucked on camera. And I was like, why don't I go pro? And then, yeah, one thing led to another. I started making my stripper Instagram more into, I guess, like my stage presence mm-hmm. as a creator more mm-hmm. instead of a stripper. And so I started promoting like new videos that I'd put out or, you know, different things to expect. I'd get all dressed up in little outfits, you know, sexy outfits as creators do. But eventually I ended up following another stripper I had found on the internet. And she happened to be a part of one of the agencies that I used to work for. Mm-hmm. And I guess they saw me liking or commenting on one of her pictures. And then they reached out to me. And I was like, fuck it. Let's do it. Let's shoot some porn.
Awesome.
Yep. And I flew out days after signing the contract. And it didn't really hit me until I got to my first set, which was insane.
So I want to hear about, because there's a lot of firsts here that we've like skipped over. And I want to hear more detail about them. So the very first time that you stripped in a club, tell me about that. Like, how were you feeling before you got on stage? How were you feeling when you were on stage? And like, how did you feel after?
All right. Okay. It's so funny because just thinking about it makes me like kind of relive it. And I'm getting like all jittery and like my hands are literally getting sweaty right now. But I remember, it's terrible. But I pulled up to the club. I was supposed to be there 10 minutes earlier than I was. And, you know, the boss wasn't there yet, at least so I thought, because I texted her when I got there. She's like, okay, I'm pulling up soon. So basically, she pulls up right next to me, like right after I put my car in park. And so I'm late my mm-hmm. first night. Mm-hmm. And she takes it really serious. Like it's super pro at the club I was working at. And so I could see the little look in her eyes. She's like, why are you late on your first date? Mm-hmm. I was like, fuck. But everything went okay. She pretty much guided me on like things to do. And as far as like dancing goes, like she said, just do your thing, like feel yourself, you mm-hmm. know, do what makes you feel sexy. And then we'll see what happens after that. And that was for my audition.
Did you get to pick your song?
I didn't. I also didn't really think much of it. The club that I was dancing at, it's called Ballerinas, by the way. I love them. I adore them so much. That's family. So I don't recall choosing my songs because it's a very, I would say their playlist is urban, mm-hmm. like, you know, trap, hip hop, mm-hmm. all that, R&B. So I was cool with the vibes that mm-hmm. I was hearing throughout my paperwork slash application yeah. process. And so I remember getting dressed in the locker room and I am so, so nervous. I'm shaky a little bit. I'm really wondering, like, I wonder how it's going to be. It was slow. I think it was a Sunday night. And, you know, there's only one customer in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so, like, I'm still having all these nerves. And thankfully, like, the girls that are the dancers there, they were really nice. They were like, oh, you're so beautiful. Like, they're complimenting me and whatnot. And I was like, oh, thank you. Like, that's really sweet. It's a little comforting hearing that in a club, because I soon learned later, years after that, when I started to travel for dancing, that girls aren't the nicest in strip clubs all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it's good to have that
have
kind
that
of
first experience. Be,
yeah.
Get, yeah.
So anyways, now it's time to go on stage and get naked for 4 songs. Okay.
And one person.
Yeah. One person. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I really got into it because, I mean, I was feeling it. You know, the stage had mirrors all around it. And so kind of you're dancing with yourself in a mirror for most of it. And I made $60 off that one customer
on
my first stage set. And I forgot to take my bottoms off. It was a full nude club. So I got a little scolding afterwards. He's like, you didn't take your bottoms off. I was like, I know, I'm so sorry, I forgot. But look.
$6.
Yeah, because I was busting my ass at this little boutique store from back home. Aside from modeling, I had a regular, 9-to-5 job in retail. And goodness, I remember it felt like I was overworking for the amount that I was getting paid. And my personality, I guess, if I'm going to do a job, I'm going to do it right, like to the best of my ability. And so I would make $60. I think, I guess, not even in a full day's, or maybe in a full day's of work. I don't remember what my wage was back then. But basically, it was the $60 was enough to make me like, holy fuck, I made this much money in a matter of like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I would have to work hours just to get this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And
retail is a pretty thankless job I've worked at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
rough. A lot of customer complaining.
Yeah. A lot of customers really not appreciating
your
store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel it. Mm-hmm. I've also been there. But yeah, since then, since my first stage set, I remember after it, I was thrilled. I was excited. I was like, holy shit, it wasn't that bad. Because I was a little nervous. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing exactly. I've never really danced at all other than like hula and Tahitian.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has to do with the hips. I mean, I danced like bachata with my mom then whenever we're at family parties. But like,
yeah.
I mean, that kind of helped, I guess. Taught me how to move a little bit and like have rhythm.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the most important because honestly,
So now have you learned like all the pole tricks and stuff like that?
No. You'd think after 5 years of dancing, I would be pretty bomb at the pole, but I'm not. I only know like 2 or 3 tricks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I'm good at my floor work. And I prefer to be interacting with the people.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that I make more money that way.
Yeah.
When I interact with the customers at stage. So yeah, I was like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Plus, I'm still as tall as I am I was back then. And I would kick light structures. I would kick people occasionally whenever I did try to go on the pole. So I was like, okay, I can live without it. I got by without it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, my only concern is that now my knees hurt a lot easier. So fuck.
I know. It's a lot of, I took a pole dancing class and I was so bruised the next day. It looked like someone kicked, like beat me up. I was like, how can anyone do this and then model? Because you're covered in bruises.
No, literally. And I remember, oh my God. So I didn't tell my 9 to 5 that I was going in, you know, to work or to strip at night. But the next day I came into work, I was covered in bruises on all over my shins, my knees. And I remember my manager looking down. She's like I could tell she noticed. She never really said anything. And so,
yeah. She thought maybe you just had a wild night or something like that.
I wonder. To this day, I wonder what she was thinking.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was great. It was very great. I look back on it and just think of how grateful I felt. And it was it was humbling, you know? Because then there were nights I made, over $2,000 at that club. And that was before I even went to Vegas. Vegas, there's a lot more money there.
Yeah.
And so that $60, it was something that I always held on to stay humble. Mm-hmm. Be like, it's on the, to stay humble on the bad nights.
Yeah.
Because there are days where you'll make $200. I've only left a negative once. And that's something that not a lot of people can say. It's common for that to happen, actually.
Because you have to give part of your earnings to the club, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a house fee you have to pay. And so for every dance, you owe a percentage of that dance to the club.
But is that on top of... So wait,
on top of the house fee.
What's the house fee?
That's just to work for the night.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And so it also depends on the club, depends on where you are, what time you show up. Sometimes they up the prices depending on the hour. Mm-hmm. Raise the prices, not up. Sorry.
I guess it makes sense because those are probably times that you would make more money. There's more customers and more people would want to work that time.
Yeah. But the way our club to work is a set time. You show up at this time, it's a flat fee.
Right. Yeah. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Giselle's very first pro scene, which we kind of teased a little bit. So hang tight. We will be right back.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now, with my code Holly, you can get any one item for 50% off, plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code Holly.
Hey guys, we're back. Okay, so tell us about your first pro scene. What company was it for?
Oh, it was for Net Video Girls. And I had the same butterflies that I did when I had my first night dancing. So it was a very similar experience. However, I had the butterflies driving to the club. And I had the butterflies for my first pro set literally 10 minutes before shooting.
And that was it? So yeah. You weren't nervous about it before then? So
no, I really wasn't, which is funny because I guess I was I've shot my own porn, you know?
Yeah.
So you had some experience.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But at the same time, I was like, wait, I flew to California to shoot porn. I'm about to do it. A lot of people are going to see it. And then only 10 minutes before shooting did I realize all of that, all of that fully sunk in and kicked in. So I remember shaking, or I tried to hide it at least. When we started filming the video, because there's a little intro, they make it a little interview kind of thing, and I remember being so nervous, and the sex ensues, and then at the end of it I was like, that's it, that's all. And they're like, oh my god, you're great. I was like, wait, what? Really? I remember asking them, immediately after finishing, I was like, is there anything I could have done different? Like, how did I do? Like, I was looking for that criticism.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, really, everything was great. Like, you're going to do great in this industry. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And, like, I was really glad about that. And I have learned so much more since then.
Yeah,
I bet. So much more.
Net Video Girls, is that one of the sites that you, like, work with the guy who owns it? Or did you work with another male performer?
It was a male performer.
Okay.
I think Mr. Lucky POV.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Lucky POV is the one, or the performer that I worked with.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what have been some of your favorite scenes that you've done since you've been in the industry and come so far and learned so much?
Well, oh goodness, I have so many. Let's see. Aside from our Twisties shoot, I loved the stripper one because it was one of my fantasies. I've always wanted to fuck on stage, like on a stripper stage. But then again, I think the only thing missing from that was, of course, the people part.
Right.
But I felt like a bad bitch in that, and I loved it. But let's see what else. That was a girl. Love April Olsen. She's great. What else is there? Okay, it's gonna sound a little cliche because it was my first scene with Ramon, but that one I thoroughly enjoyed because it was a BDSM shoot, and that's something I am so into in my personal life. Yes, I love it so much. And yeah, the things that happened before that, even while we were shooting, like the intro and all that to that scene, it was so funny. It was very memorable in the way that I've never experienced anything like what I did when I met him. So there's that as well.
How so? Could you explain that?
Yeah, I could. It's so corny. Oh my God. So by the time I met him, I was already like, I think about a year in or so. So I've already, you know, shot with other people, and it's not a personal thing at all. You know, it's work. You know, I mean, you're fucking on camera, but it doesn't really go beyond that. As far as like, if it's, I don't know.
Like, there's no, like, feeling. You're not catching feelings afterwards.
Yeah. So it's like a no strings thing. And basically, I remember I did my pretty girls. I'm back in the little dressing room. And he walks in. And I melted like butter. I tell everyone it's like butter in a microwave. Like, you know how it just goes. That's exactly how I went. Like, or. God.
Was that the first time that you saw him?
Ever met him, yeah.
Okay, so the first time you ever laid eyes on this man, or at least in person, because sure you'd seen porn with him in it, was when he walked into that dressing room. Okay.
I honestly didn't even see any porn that he was in before either, because I didn't watch a lot of pro porn, I think. I did more. I mean, I've seen like a lot of Vixen, but I loved amateur stuff on Pornhub and whatnot. But let's see. I immediately just felt like this wash of like ease / calm when I met him. And I don't know how to, it's weird. It's, I never believed in love at first sight until I met him. And I thought it was the corniest shit ever. I was like, ew, what am I feeling right now? Why am I feeling it? Like, we just met each other. I know nothing about him. He knows nothing about me. But yeah, it was interesting. And of course the chemistry was there.
Yeah.
You know, we were, you know, very flirty, in between takes. Yeah, it's such a strange feeling. Yeah, it's everything. All my stress, everything I ever thought I knew about love just changed.
And then, so then,
it was weird.
Yeah. I mean,
from someone that was very skeptical about even finding love in the first place. And I had gone through like a really bad relationship experience just as a stripper. And he made me believe for a second that I wasn't worthy of love because of what I did. And that really, really, really got to me. Like,
I'm sure.
And yeah, there's this whole that between that 3 year thing between porn and stripping, mm-hmm. I went to the psych ward because I had a lot of mental growth to do. Mm-hmm. Struggled with depression, all of that, which sucks. But I wouldn't be the person I am today if I hadn't gone through that.
Yeah.
But anyway,
our struggles make us who we are.
Right.
You know what I mean? If life was always just easy and there was never any bumps in the road, like you don't grow. So it's right. Like those struggles are, they suck when they come up, but they end up being kind of like our greatest gifts.
Yes, because I totally believe I would not be here if I hadn't done that. If I hadn't taken myself to the psych ward because I felt unsafe with myself. Mm-hmm. If I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have been here. I wouldn't have gone to therapy. And that's something that I advocate for because that should save my life literally mm-hmm. alongside, you know, medication. But yeah, and I'm in a way, I'm grateful for that dark time because yeah. It taught me so much. It taught me gratitude. It taught me how to really see things in a different light mm-hmm. and to appreciate things for what they are and when they are, just everything around me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's why when I found Ramon, I was really focused on myself mm-hmm. and my healing and really finding my own peace within myself and learning to love myself, that little self-love, self-care thing. That was my self, my little self-care era. And
I do feel that like the right people walk into your life when you're in that place mm-hmm. where you're taking care of yourself and you're starting to, you know, work on yourself. That's yeah. when I feel like the universe is like, okay, you're ready for this thing. Because I mean, I know, you know, for me, if I had met my current husband many years ago before I got my shit together, like that relationship never would have worked out.
Yeah. I totally believe that. And, cause that's kind of where things are with us. Like if he had met me, he would not have tolerated me for like 2 days.
Yeah.
But basically I remember before even meeting him, I was trying to replace the love that I had before. And so I was actively searching for it and realized that nothing ever went well or nothing good ever came out of searching for it. Mm-hmm. So eventually I accepted that let's stop looking. Let's take care of this. Let's mm-hmm. take care of me first.
Yep.
And I always tell people it comes when you're not looking for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is so absolutely true.
Yeah.
So then after the scene, mm-hmm. like, did you get his number? Like, how did you, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I got his number, and we were supposed to go out to eat afterward, but he's a busy man. He's still to this day, he's always freaking working, and he had to go head to testing last minute. So he was like, oh, it's okay. I'll just text you later. And I was so bummed. I was like, fuck. Okay, whatever. It's not like I wanted to spend time with you or anything or like get to know you better or whatever. And so he ended up coming over after that. Then we hung out. He bought me a little box of chocolates, too. Oh, it was so cute. I was like, I love chocolate. How did you know? But, I mean, that's pretty easy. I think everyone loves chocolate. But
yeah.
I appreciated the little gift. You know, and since then, yeah. I think he slept over the first night.
I was going to say, have you guys been kind of inseparable since then?
Mm-hmm. And to a lot of people, that might sound like a red flag, but we were literally inseparable. We didn't want to be away from each other for like a whole week, pretty much. And yeah.
I mean, that sounds like love to me.
It was weird because even I was like, I've never experienced anything like that where I felt that, what is it, magnetism, is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
It's that magnetic feeling.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to be around this person, he wanted to be around me too, and so we just went with the flow.
Yeah.
And since then we've been flowing since.
So how is it dating? I know that, like, you know, so many performers, you know, have different experiences with dating. I know it can be hard for a lot of people because of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like dating another performer in the industry?
So, it's Honestly, it depends on your boundaries. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that for a while, not for a while. I mean, we both understood, or we looked at work as work. It's a job. We separate it from anything personal. Mm-hmm. And so that helps a lot in terms of our relationship. And we understood that at the very beginning, because we did meet at work.
Right.
And then our fling, I guess, was an exception on both of our ends. Like, mm-hmm. we didn't really ever have that before. Mm-hmm. And so we just followed it.
It sounds to me like you're clear and communicative about your boundaries.
Yes.
And I think that's the most important thing in yeah. any relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys ever have, like, jealousy issues? And if that comes up, like, how do you address that?
So we don't have any jealousy issues because we're into watching each other have sex with other people.
Oh, well, that's helpful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It helps a ton. That's
very helpful.
Right. And I feel like that's why we're able to be so chill about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we've never really had any... I don't think we've had jealousy issues.
No? Is there anything that you guys find that you struggle with each other? Oh. With, like, is it like... It could even be just, like, pressures of work, like
right.
working a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't even have to necessarily yeah. tie to sex specifically.
Right. So we actually do have that come up pretty often because, he's always working. He's mm-hmm. consistently getting booked.
I mean, when you're, like, a reliable male performer, you will get booked.
I've learned.
Yeah. When you're good looking and, like, you know, you tick all those boxes, which Ramon does, mm-hmm. you will get booked all the time.
Yeah, and he knows what he's doing. He knows yeah. how to move the girls.
Oh, he's great. Like,
he knows everything.
Yeah, I mean, when I have Ramon, like, I can go take a fucking nap.
Yeah,
because he's gonna carry the girl. He's gonna spin her every which way. He's gonna give me his favorite position, which right. is holding the girl up and fucking her, which I thought was everybody's least favorite position because it's so much work for the guy.
Mm-hmm. No, he puts in work.
Yeah, absolutely. He really does.
Yeah. So there are times where, like, or I have a streak where I'm busy. And mm-hmm. so sometimes we aren't able to have sex with each other. And that's also something we both enjoy. Like, mm-hmm. we enjoy having that time for each other with each other. And so there's only been a few times where we had a little struggle where we were like, we really want each other and we couldn't really have each other because one person would be either really drained or really tired or sore even because mm-hmm. men can get sore from having too much sex
totally.
Too.
I've seen a lot of friction
it.
Involved.
I've seen it. I'm yeah. like, ow, that your penis looks sore.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. But same way, I mean, when our pussies take enough beatings, they get swollen and red and painful. And, you know, a break is necessary sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we also understood that part of our job mm-hmm. because we need that rest time.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that probably sucks about performing is that we get times where we're too tired to have sex with each other.
Yeah, because you're too busy being paid to have sex with other people.
Yeah.
I get that.
And I'm like, oh, I miss my penis. That's my penis. I don't want anybody else's. I want yours.
Do you guys make sure to, like, take, like, time off of work, the both of you, so that you guys can have, like, little
kind
holidays
of.
Together,
kind
even
of.
Staycations.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, we also enjoy each other as is mm-hmm. without the sex.
Right.
And so that helps a lot. Like, we're able to, you know, abstain from it if necessary because there are times where being in a couple or being a couple with both people as performers, it can be a little at a disadvantage when it comes to the exposure mm-hmm. of STIs and whatnot.
Yeah.
Because it's double the risk, basically.
Right, right.
And so there are times where one of us had an STD and then we'd be medicated and we'd have to refrain from having sex from each other.
Right, right.
And then
of course.
It's like when you want something bad or so bad and you can't get it, it makes you want it even more,
mm-hmm.
which sucks. But we power through it. We do the best we can and
yeah.
just really spend some quality time together, which I also don't complain about because I love to do, you know, just to be around him. We'll play video games, we'll watch movies, snuggle in bed, or we'll go out with the or to the beach with the puppies. Like, it's good that we have both such a great relationship even without the sex. Mm-hmm. Like a good chemistry, just a good want to be around each other no matter if it's sexual or not.
And you guys are married.
Yes.
Have you guys talked about, are you interested in starting a family at any point?
Maybe one day along the lines. We'll see. We'll see, because I know he wants a baby. Mm-hmm. He's very fatherly figure, like mm-hmm. as far as just the way I've seen him care for my nieces and nephews back home. Mm-hmm. It's adorable.
Yeah.
It gives me baby fever like hell. But no, I'm not ready. I still feel like a kid myself. I have a little more growing to do before I'm able to feel like I can raise a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot.
I can tell you that it absolutely is a lot. And I waited how old are you?
I'm 23.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, girl.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Like 10, 15.
Yeah, no. I'm
so long cool from right now.
Right.
I'm cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, he can have kids whenever.
Yeah.
You know, women, we're different. We have a biological window. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I had Violet. I was 41 when I had her.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you've got time.
Right. Yeah. I am in no rush.
No. No, and it's a big decision to make. So.
Huge. I'm like, having two puppies sometimes is a lot.
Yeah.
And that's not, it's not even close to having a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, they're actually dependent on you. My dogs, they just do whatever they want. Right. The only things they come to us for is food and walks.
Yeah. You can't just like throw your kid in the backyard for like the afternoon because they're annoying. I wish I could do that. Just put him in the kettle. Just get in there. Shh.
Right.
There's a bone. Like quiet. Yeah.
And we've raised our dogs so that they love their crate is their safe space.
Yeah.
And so that helps a lot.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier for sure. But it has its times.
How does your family feel about him? And do they know? I'm assuming that they know what you do for a living.
They do, and they're very supportive. Very supportive.
That's fantastic.
So grateful.
Are you surprised that they had that reaction?
Honestly, a little, but not really, because
it sounds like your mom was supportive from the beginning with your stripping anyways.
Yeah.
It sounds like she's somebody who, you know, wants to be there for you regardless.
Yeah, for sure. And I remember a weekend, my dad found out real quick because my mom spilled the beans and he wouldn't talk to me for like a week. I mean, it was like more like I'm mad at you. I don't want to talk to you kind of thing.
Yeah.
But eventually he came around. He's like, you're fine. Like, as long as you're being safe.
Yeah.
Like, I still love you.
Yeah.
Don't got to worry about it. Just take care of you. And yeah. So they're very supportive. Always been from the jump, pretty much, kind of.
Yeah,
minus
great.
That week time that my dad took.
Right.
Which is understandable because I was the good girl of the family.
Mm-hmm.
But back to
how they feel about like Ramon. And...
Okay. That was a different story because we have a pretty decent sized age gap.
Mm-hmm. How old is Ramon now?
He's 48.
Okay.
So we have a 25 year difference.
Okay.
And so I remember I was talking to my mom about him, I think, within like the first month that we started talking. I was like, Mom, I met this really nice guy and I don't know what it is about him, but something feels so right and interesting. I've never felt anything like it before. She's like, oh, okay, that's cool. How old is he? I said, he's like 47. I was like, and she's like, okay. I mean, wow. Like, she just had that surprise. She had that surprise, expression. And she said, as long as you're happy, as long as he's taking good care of you and he supports you, I approve of it.
Yeah.
And that's how my entire side of my mom's family was. Everyone was supportive as long as I was happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I waited a little longer to tell my dad
mm-hmm.
because Ramon's older than my dad.
Oh, yeah.
So.
How much older is he than your dad?
Oh, he's like 3 years. No. Sorry. No, like five.
Wow.
Five. Yeah.
Wait a minute. So your dad's like my age or younger.
Ramon.
I'm 44.
I think he's probably like 1 year younger or something.
Your dad's younger than me.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No, please.
I'm done.
Oh, God. I didn't remember getting to stage in my career because I've been doing this for like 25 years.
Right.
When models that I work with, when their parents started being the same age as me or sometimes younger, and I was like, I'm so old.
No, it's just
kind of funny.
I mean, my parents had me when they're like 18, 19. So, yeah.
Thank you for trying to make me feel better. Yeah, it did not work, but thank you.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Oh man. I thought it would help.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally teasing you. It's fine. Okay. I'm okay about my age. It's just sometimes moments like that.
It really hits you.
When I'm sitting here like talking to you and when I work with you, I feel like we're like the same age. And then it's moments like that I'm reminded that we are 100% not the same age.
But it's okay. Yeah. I don't know. That's another thing about age. I feel like it really doesn't matter. I feel like personality shines through beyond age.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely like something to be said about, you know, growing up. And I mean, we talked about how much you grew up in 3 years for sure. So, but there are definitely people who are like older than their years.
Oh, right. For sure. Yeah. And I feel like that's the thing. That's why our relationship works, because Ramon sees that in me a little bit. Like, I know what I want. Mm-hmm. And that's something a lot of people my age can't really say.
Yeah.
So I've also witnessed a lot before meeting him that also grew me up a little bit, or aged me mentally at least.
Yeah.
So I remember when I told my dad that I was seeing someone that's like 47 years old. He's like, what? What are you doing with a man that old? And I was like, no. He treats me really good. He treats me like a princess, dad. Like, I swear, like, he's an amazing man. And he was like, he made the stinkest face. Yeah. Just the stinkest face. And he's like, okay, well, whatever. Just as long as you're happy.
Yeah.
And eventually, he didn't end up meeting Ramon until Christmas. And when I told him about him, it was like April. And he was always very put off about meeting him. Like, he's like, nah, I don't want to. He's going to have to call me dad. Just like making jokes like that. And
so how'd the meeting go?
It went great.
Yeah.
It went great. The thing is that we have an uncle in our family where he's the one that truly decides if someone's other half is going to stick around in the family.
Okay.
And so he's very intimidating. He's scary. He's spooky. Like, he will do a soul stare into your eyes and be like, do you love my niece? What are your plans with her? Like,
yeah,
all that stuff. Like, a soul stare. And Ramon didn't hesitate one bit. He said, I really love her. I plan to be with her for a long time. And I told her whenever she's ready to get married, I'm ready. And I was like, my heart melted when he said that. And I was like, okay, all right, that's good to know. And so when I got my uncle's blessing, it made me realize there's nothing my dad can say, because my dad loves that uncle to death. And
so once you got the uncle stamp of approval,
yeah,
your dad fell in line.
Yeah.
And Ramon's a very like charming man. I'm sure that he charmed your family. And charmed your dad. And I'm sure your dad.
Yeah. And it's so cute. My friends and family from back home, they watch the way he looks at me, they watch the way he cares for me, takes care of me. And he's like, oh my God, like, you can literally see how much he loves you. And like, it makes me so sappy every time.
Yeah.
And I'm not a sappy, lovey-dovey person either. Like, I was never, like, a romantic, really, until I met him and figured out what all those feelings were, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, ew, so corny and cheesy and ishy-gushy.
I know, but it's also, like,
it's
wonderful.
Cute. It is wonderful. It is, because it's very, I would say it's very rare to come upon it. Mm-hmm. But then again, like I said earlier, if you're trying to look for it, it's might not happen. I don't know. At least that's what happened with me.
Well, I mean, I think that's what makes it so special when you do fall in love with somebody, because it's not that easy to find.
Yeah.
To find the right person.
I definitely didn't find it by looking, so.
Yeah. So when it happens, it's beautiful. It should mean something. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
You should have all those sappy feelings.
Yeah.
You should embrace them.
Right. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm so sorry. I keep going off. But meeting went great. Dad loves him. And
good.
He knows I'm in good hands now.
That's great.
So, like, both sides of my family know that I'm in good hands, so much so that they don't really call to check in as much. And my family, we're more of a love from a distance kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. we know we're busy. We're being adults. Mm-hmm. And so we'll call each other, like, every now and then. And, yeah, they have so much faith in him that they used to call me, like, weekly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, like, every other month.
Okay.
And we text in between the calls, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they know that's I'm good. In good hands. So that's also good to feel that my family is...
supports your career. Sounds like you're in pretty good shape right now.
Pretty much everything's falling into place.
That's awesome.
And I really love that, kind of falling into place. I don't know, just based on what our last conversation was before the camera,
right?
Yeah.
Understand. Yes, our little secret pre-podcast mm-hmm. conversation. All right, Giselle, well, thank you so much for coming in. It was a pleasure to have you. We're going to do a little, like, bonus Q&A for my Patreon members this, if that's okay.
Sounds good.
A few extra minutes to get to know Giselle in a little more intimately. And, of course, you know, join my Patreon, patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered, to access that exclusive content. But for the rest of you, Giselle, can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Oh, okay. Let's see. Instagram, you can find me at Jizzy Blanco, GIZZYBLANCO. I had to think about it because I got deleted twice and got to figure out which username I'm using now. But Twitter and TikTok is XOGizelleXO, XOGIZELLEXO. OnlyFans, my one and only site that I use to connect with fans and subscribers, XOGizelle.com. Super easy.
Where's the jizz on my face scandal? That's on your Twitter, right?
It was, and then I changed it.
You changed it. Mm-hmm. You no longer hold the jizz on my face?
Oh, no, I still love facials. I don't hold the handle anymore. It was like my little, it wasn't my username. It was like
your title?
The title,
like your name?
I just remember the
first time I looked you up on Twitter, I saw that. I'm like, that's funny.
No, I know. And I love it. And I want to go back to it. Now it's Jizzy Loves You, because I did a little soul searching. So I really made it a priority to, like, give good energy and send love out, because there's a lot of people that need it.
Yeah.
And so I changed it to Jizzy Loves You.
As long as you still love being jizzed on your face. That's,
yes.
As long as we know that deep down you are still the same person.
Very much so. Very much so.
Oh my God, I love it. And you guys can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Holly Randall. I'm still on TikTok. They actually deleted me.
Wait, really?
And then they reinstated me immediately.
As they should. I don't think you really did it.
They deleted two videos of mine for community guideline violations, which I appealed, and they still kept them deleted. One was literally Aiden Starr talking about how she likes to wear latex because it fits her well.
Right.
There's absolutely nothing sexual about it. She just said that she liked wearing latex. It was very tame. I'm very careful. Mm-hmm. And the other one was Venus Guy talking about what her perfect first date would be. Same thing. She was like, walk on the beach, dinner. She's wearing like a little jumper. Yeah.
That's TikTok.
Thanks,
for you.
TikTok. Anyways, but I'm still there for now. It's at Holly Randall Unfiltered on TikTok. So come follow me there, because who knows if I will be there tomorrow. Hanging on by the skin of my teeth.
It's like me and Instagram.
Yeah.
Me and Instagram don't have a good relationship.
Yeah. Social media, it's hard.
It's not fun for sex workers.
But if you are listening to this on the audio version, make sure that you subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. I don't think that's getting deleted anytime soon. YouTube seems to like me. So make sure that you're following me there. I will be taking next week off, taking a little week break between Christmas and New Year's. So I hope you guys have an amazing holiday season. I'll be back the week after. So have a great one. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much for listening. If you love my show and want to support it, I ask that you take the time to rate and review my podcast. Now, if you're not sure how to do that, you can go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU and you'll automatically be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports, and then be led to the place where you can rate my show. 5 stars, of course, and leave your glowing review. Okay, it doesn't have to be glowing, but, you know, say something nice. You can also financially support this show through my Patreon by visiting patreon.com/hollyrandallunfiltered, where you get so many perks for your support. Things such as early releases and live recordings of my interviews, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, autographed copies of my photography books, free access to my private Snapchat and not safe for work website, hollyrandall.com, and my bonus podcast, My LA Porn Life. Also, join my Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/hollyrandallunfiltered, and you can watch the video versions of these interviews at youtube.com/hollyrandallunfiltered. Oh, and of course, sign up for my newsletter at hollyrandallunfiltered.com and get all the info on upcoming guests and special projects. Again, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for supporting my podcast in whatever way that you can. If you're looking for a sexuality podcast that is definitely different from most, you have to check out Body Storytelling. Body Storytelling was curated by Dixie De La Torre, who is a force in herself. But essentially, it's a recording of a live podcast, which features an eclectic mix of authors, poets, comedians, and actors sharing their true adventures around sex in about 10 minutes or less. I've been to one of these events, and it is so much fun. The energy in the room is palatable. And because it's such a diverse group of people, you never know what you're going to hear next. But every single episode is just so much fun. So make sure that you check out Body Storytelling. But I'm going to let Dixie tell you more about it herself.
Do you wish you had a cadre of fun, outrageous friends who'd share their true stories of sex, kink, or gender with you? Well, I have hundreds, nay, thousands of them, and I invite you to join us every week on the Body Storytelling Podcast for a different story told by the person who had the adventure. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Torre, and the award-winning Body Storytelling Podcast features stories told live on stage in front of hundreds of people. Think Savage Love meets The Moth meets Mortified, and these stories are explicit. You name it, Body's got it. Stories from fetishists, polyamorists, swingers, kinksters, stories from queer, trans, bi, pan, the monogamous, and the open-minded. Body stories may be X-rated, but each tale has a gooey center with heart and real meaning. Body Storytelling is proud to be part of the Pleasure Podcast Network, bringing sex-positive education and storytelling to your ears. I'm Dixie De La Torre, and I hope you'll join me as I bring you a new uncensored story every week on the Body Storytelling Podcast.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.